How can we help clients escape the burden of worthlessness? Some clients hold on to this deep sense of shame, a feeling that they're just plain bad. Dr. Richard Schwartz says that there's often one part of themselves that keeps people in this negative space, and it's protecting them from something even worse.
I mean, shame gets a really bad name in psychotherapy, and for me, it's a natural human emotion in the sense that we're born with the knowledge that our lives depend on being accepted by our tribe. We're mammals, and we're not going to survive without the help of a tribe or a family or a community. And so the terror, there's a terror that comes with being shamed, almost a survival terror, like if I'm not valued, if I am actually seen as a liability or something bad, then young parts of us fear for our survival. So to counter or to keep us from doing anything that might bring on that kind of shame, we have what is commonly known as an inner critic, who again gets a really bad name in our field, but generally is just desperately trying to keep us from getting shamed by the outside world. And in people who've had a lot of experiences with shame, as a child in particular, that critic can take on the voice of the shaming parent just because it's desperate to get you to behave the way that parent wanted you to, so that you don't get more shame from that parent. So shame for me is that. It's that critical voice that says you're bad, and if you do this other thing, you're going to be even worse. And then there's one of these exiled parts, young, vulnerable part, that actually believes that you're bad, that you're worthless, that message that came from one of those parents goes right to the heart of these young, exiled parts and becomes what I call the burden of worthlessness. So in that way, shame is a two-part phenomenon. There's a critic who says you're a shit, and then there's this young part that believes it. And then usually there's yet another part whose job it is to get you away from the shame. And sometimes we'll resort to extreme behaviors that actually then bring on more shame. So a lot of clients, when they feel shamed, will go get drunk, for example, or will act out sexually, or will do something to get away from that feeling, or will get enraged with somebody. Because if I feel rage, I'm powerful. I'm not feeling so worthless and bad. But then that part that does the sort of rescue from the shame brings on more shame from the outside world, which then adds fuel to the critic. And so you get this kind of vicious cycle going inside. So that's how I see shame. And particularly that critic is very malign, but it's actually just trying its best to keep you safe, either by shaming you into behaving better, looking better, performing at a higher level, or by shaming you so you don't take any risks, so that you feel worthless to the point where you don't go outside the house, or you don't say anything that might be risky with another person. So I recently did a consultation with a trauma survivor client, and we started out with the critic. That's where I often start, because if you don't work with that part first, it's going to sabotage everything, usually because these critics can't afford to let the client feel better. It's very scary to them to have a client start to feel good about themselves. So I would have her focus on it and have her find it in her body, and usually they're in the head, and ask how you feel toward it. And again, she was very intimidated by it, scared, and kind of believed it also. And so we had to get the parts that were afraid of it and also bought into what it said to just step out, which is, again, how we do it. Just, I would have her ask those parts if they give us some space. So she could handle, I'll call her Mary. So Mary could handle this critic with my help. And that took a while, because there is so much, these critics are very prominent in people's systems, and they're used to having a lot of power, and people are used to believing what they're saying. So, but we did, and I got her to, how do you feel now toward this critic? And she's curious about why it's calling her names all the time. And in asking that question, and then the follow-up question, which is, what's it afraid would happen if it didn't do that inside? We learned about this very young part that was a little girl who, when she was being sexually abused, was trying to resist and was getting really angry. And this critic came in to keep her from showing any of that, because if she did, she'd get more abuse. And so as people witness that, then they have compassion for the critic and can extend that to it. And it becomes a kind of hero in a way. At least when she was that young, it needed to do that to save her life, basically. In this case, her life literally depended on that. So we can let that critic know all of that. And then as we get permission to go to that little girl, there's another part that comes in that's really afraid to let us do that. And as we learn, ask questions about the fear, we learn that if we were to go to that girl, that would trigger this self-harm part that would come in and make her do things that she hadn't done in a long time to her body. And so then we had to go to that one before we could go to the girl and get to know Ed and work with Ed and then get his permission. And then finally go to that girl and have her show the scenes of abuse and then get her out of there. And then the critic sees it doesn't have to save her life anymore. Another thing about these parts is, especially these protective parts, I do this a lot. If you were to ask your critic, because we all got one, how old it thought you are, often the answer comes back in single digits. So these parts think we're still 5 years old, and they still think we need our services, their services, in the way we did back then.
That's an interesting part of our critic's design, how it often sees us as perpetual children. These judgmental parts can fuel so much of our client's shame. For another take on how to approach this critical part, here's a thought from Dr. Joan Borisenko.
One very simple way is through humor, naming the inner critic. And when the inner critic comes up, say, all right, get thee behind me, Zelda, or whatever your name is. And I think I've mentioned this once before. Musician Karen Drucker has a great song called Taming Your Inner Critic. And it's wonderful because it brings in levity along with a lot of real sophistication about the inner critic and what it does. But beyond that, I've used for many, many years a meditation that I first heard from Louise Hay. Back in the day, it must have stemmed from the mid-80s when she was working with AIDS patients. And that was a time when so much of the world was shaming young gay men with AIDS and saying, well, God is punishing you for your sins because you've done this thing that's wrong. And I think Louise's success came a lot from working with AIDS patients and loving them instead of shaming them. So being with her was a very safe place. She used to have these events in California that she called hayrides, and they were attended by gay men. And she would give this particular meditation. And what it is a visualization exercise where you would start by seeing yourself as a baby and holding yourself in your arms and really trying to put yourself into that baby self with all of the love that you would give to this little being, and then tucking the baby into your heart. And then seeing yourself as a five-year-old and going through the same kind of loving, compassionate process, tucking the little five-year-old in your heart. Then when you were 10, when you were 15, when you were then a young adult or the age that you are now. And I find that gives people an amazing chance to have things come up about themselves at different ages and feel compassionate toward themselves. And it really helps with the inner critic, because I do find that the inner child work is, for some people, a very important part of dealing with shame.
We've seen how challenging it can be to work against the inner critic. In the next module, we'll look at one direct approach that can break the negative power of shame. I'll see you there.